Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Go back to your seat. Good morning, everyone. Our text today comes again from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and today I'm using the Message translation. Some background. Today we pick up with Paul, that great missionary who is on his second trip, and he thinks he's going one place, but something has happened. Let us now listen with our hearts and our ears, and may our spirits be open as we hear from Acts 16, picking up with verse 9. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The dream gave Paul his map. We, Paul and Timothy, went to work at once, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. Putting out from the harbor of Troas, we made a straight run for Samothrace. The next day, we tied up at the new city and walked from there to Philippi, the main city in that part of Macedonia, and even more importantly, a Roman colony. We lingered there several days. On the Sabbath, we left the city and went down along the river where we had heard there was a prayer meeting. Ooh, prayer meeting. We took our place with the women who had gathered there, and we talked with them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Holy, gracious, wonderful, majestic, awesome God, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to this place at this time, that we may gather around the throne of grace to worship you, to put you at the center of our lives, to say, yes, you are our sovereign God. So in this moment, fill us with your presence. Fill us with your grace. Fill us to overflowing. Let us hear your word, and only your word. So set aside our plans for the afternoon. Set aside our cares. And let us hear your still, small voice. Please, God, raise up your cross and hide me behind it. For I'll long only that you be seen. And if I am not the one to bring your message, I will step aside. For it is your glory that we seek. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your children, need and long to hear your voice. Amen. Paul, he thought he was going to go to Asia. In fact, that's where he and Timothy were headed, was to go to those great cities of Asia. But he had a dream. Had a dream of this man, this person, in the north of Greece saying, "Come, come here." Now, if that had been me, I would have woke up and said, "Now, God, let's talk about this. You know, I want to go here." As Methodists, we would have formed a committee, and we would have studied it and gone to General Conference and all that. Because changing courses is difficult, is it not? And sometimes we're asked to do that. Sometimes in our lives, we just get dissatisfied. We get dissatisfied with where we are, and we're asked to change maybe what we do. You ever been there in your life where what you're doing just doesn't have meaning anymore? what you're doing just isn't what you're supposed to be doing, and you know that somehow in the depths of your soul. And you say, there's got to be more. There's got to be something here. Yet you're afraid because you know where you are. You know the pitfalls. You know the devil that you're dancing with, so to speak. And to change course is scary. But you know you got to do something because it's just dull where you are. And you know that God is calling you to do something else. Well, Paul has this dream, and immediately, that's the word that's used, immediately he gets up the next day, and he takes off in a totally different direction, a total change of course. He goes where the gospel, well, where the they didn't think the gospel was supposed to go. And it wasn't an easy trip for him. He follows the Roman roads that have been paved by the Roman government. And he walks from where he is all the way to Greece, northern Greece. He walks because God gave him a vision. Now, how many of us would start on foot and walk to California because God said, get up and go? Yeah, you're laughing. I wouldn't do it. I'd get in my nice air-conditioned car. I'd keep driving, you know, and I'd stop here and there, see a little sightseeing. But no, Paul gets up and he walks, he and Timothy, because God said to go. Was asked the question, are we ready to go as a church if God said go do something? Are we ready to be that immediate in our response? So he gets to Philippi, which is a Roman colony. Scripture is very plain about that. It is a Roman colony, which means that the Roman government has a seat there. There's Roman guards there. Paul happens to be a Roman citizen, which helps. What we also know is there's no evidence of a synagogue, which means there are not at least 10 Jewish males there to form a synagogue. There's not a Jewish presence. There is a metropolitan presence there. It is a center of commerce. It is a center of arts, but it is not a center of Jewish life. So Paul is kind of, he doesn't have his normal operational modus operandi, so to speak. Normally, Paul would go to a town. He would find a synagogue. He would hang out there during the week. And on the Sabbath, he would go and start talking about Jesus. He is totally out of his element. Not only has he gone to a place he wasn't planning to go, he gets there and it's not in his usual way of talking about Jesus. There's no synagogue. Isn't that just like the Lord? So he finds out that on the outside of the city, down by the river, I'm not going to sing that, y'all would leave. But down by the riverside, I'm so glad you guys didn't say amen, because y'all have to hear me sing from time to time. Down by the riverside, there's a prayer meeting going on. A bunch of women have gone to pray. A bunch of God-fearing women have gone to pray. And he begins to talk to them. And what becomes interesting, if you read on down, is the conversion of Lydia, the trader in purple. And it is from this very different way of doing missionary work, of doing missions, that Paul finds a home base for all of his later journeys. So Paul is open to what the Lord has asked him to do, to leave his itinerary behind. He goes to a city that's very different, where there is not a Jewish presence for his normal way of talking to believers. And he finds a place, a group of people who are eager, who are yearning for the gospel. He thinks he's going to find a man there because that's what the vision said, right? Instead, he finds a different group of people. And out of this group of people, he finds a home base for all his other journeys into Europe. In fact, Lydia is the first European convert to the gospel. What would have happened if Paul had said no to the vision? What would have happened if he said, no, God, you're wrong. I'm going to Asia. No, when I get to, what if he got to Philippi and said, no, there's no synagogue. I can't do my work. I can't do the plan. What would have happened? Some lessons from Philippi. Be on the lookout for someone who is longing for the good news. I am convinced that every day we come in contact with somebody who needs to hear the good news. Every day we come in contact with somebody who needs to know that Jesus Christ loves them. Every day. Every day someone crosses our path who needs a word of encouragement. Every day there is someone that God puts in our path who needs to have a smile, who needs to know that they're valued, who needs to know that God loves them. We just simply aren't aware of it because we have blinders on. We get task-oriented. We got to go from point A to point B, and we lose that opportunity to simply say, God loves you, to show them that they matter. The other thing we learn from Philippi is to respond to a yearning, to respond to a need, and to form partnerships. Paul formed a partnership with the women that later became a base of operations for him. You see, God's visions will always call us into ministry. God will never present a vision to us to stay put. God never says, stay where you are and have a good time. God may say, stay here and get healed up and learn some things, but God will never call Rehoboth to stay put. God will always call Rehoboth to leave the building. Okay? Get off your blessed assurances and go somewhere, okay? Also, authentic mission is a response to a need. It is never about us going out. It is about us responding to a need in the world. We don't leave here for our own kicks and giggles. We leave here to go respond to a need. This week, Mary Noble and I spent an hour over at Venus Stewart Elementary. We have committed every Monday we will be at Venus Stewart because those children need to have caring adults come and be with them. And I got to be with some first graders. I hope they didn't get too warped. We'll see. And it was such a joy just to sit there and read sight words with them and let them read to me. Did you know that reading is the best thing we can do for our society to teach a child to read? Reading. Children who read on grade level by third grade are less likely by the time they're older to be involved in drugs and alcohol and gang activity, teen pregnancy and crime. Do you know how we determine prison beds in our state? By the number of third graders who cannot read on third grade level. So let that soak into you. We determine the number of prison beds we're going to need in this state by the number of third graders who cannot read on third grade reading level. That means if you're 9 years old and you can't read on third grade reading level, we might as well give you a cot and a number. Reading is easy to teach. You need a book, a child, and a caring adult. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we teaching children to read? It will cost us less in the long run, people. Less in health care, less in our criminal justice system. We will have an educated electorate. We will have an educated job force, and yet we're spending money on other things. Amen. And these children in elementary school, early education, are hungry for knowledge. They're hungry for attention. And there's no reason why every one of us in this sanctuary can't be in those schools teaching these children to read. I'm just saying. But to sit there Monday and let them read and them just soak in that attention, I was blessed. Mary Noble can tell you, I was on cloud nine when I left that school. And all it took was an hour of my time. That was responding to a need in our community, a need to help a child realize their God-given potential. Enough said about that? And relationships power ministry. That's why we do ministries, to build relationships. Our God is a God of relationships. Our God is a God of community who wants us to be in community. Our God expects us to look out for each other. Our work yesterday at Shalom Zone drove it home for us. What our sister PJ does every day to care for those who are living in against the odds, who are living in abject poverty, it's all about relationship. Isn't that right, sister? We don't go to tell those folks what they need. We go to be in relationship with them. What our youth are going to do when they go to Mountaintop is to be in relationship. Ministry is all about relationship. That's what the Apostle Paul was about, was building relationships so that we can help each other grow in our discipleship. So here's some just two questions this week to ponder. Where is God calling Rehoboth to witness to the gospel? Where? Where in our community? And what need is God expecting Rehoboth to meet within our community? What need? I pray that we have the courage and the boldness to honestly and authentically answer these questions. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite now our ushers to come forward as we get ready to give back to God that which is already God's.